Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. A play by Sacramento journalist Ginger Rutland titled When We Were Colored, A Mother's Story, is based on a memoir by Ginger's late mother, Eva. She was a successful and prolific romance novelist. Eva kept writing almost to the end of her long life of 95 years. Ginger republished her mom's memoir in 2007. The two hit the trail on a book tour, in fact. And then Ginger adapted it for theater after her mom's death in 2012. She has staged it most recently in 2019 at Sacramento Theater Company, and now she's bringing it to the Guild Theater in the heart of the community that her mother wrote about. Ginger, hello.
Hello, Beth. Thank you.
Every time we talk about this play, it seems that the conversation is new again.
Yes. Yes. I'm bringing it back, and I'm bringing it to Oak Park. You have to understand that when my family came to Sacramento in 1952, Oak Park was one of the few neighborhoods where Black people could actually buy homes. That's where we shopped. That's where we went to church. That's where we socialized. I have very fond memories of Oak Park in the 50s. It was a vibrant community then.
So bringing this play to Oak Park is a homecoming.
It is a homecoming. I loved the experience at the Sacramento Theater Company in the Wells Fargo Pavilion. It was enormously successful, more than 60 performances, all of them sold out. And that was one of the problems. A number of people were unable to get tickets. Many people were unable to get tickets because it sold out. So I decided I wanted to restage it. And where better than in Oak Park? Because that's where much of what I write about happens.
Your mother was such a colorful character, you know, just in her personality, in her style, in her speaking, in her wisdom. And the play was a series of vignettes about topics that were really true to life. But what else was it? What was so captivating and so universal about the play?
My mother was writing as a mother. Her target were, frankly, white mothers. And she wanted to tell them that her children, she had come out of the segregated South. She was coming into an integrated environment for the first time in her life. And she wrote stories with the idea of letting her audience, whom she thought of as white mothers, she wanted to tell them that her children were just as precious and just as fragile as theirs. Please be kind. That was her message.
I'd like to talk more about Oak Park, but I think it's a good moment to bring in our other guest here in the studio, who has been very quiet. Chelsea, glad to have you here.
Hi.
So Chelsea Rutland is a family member, but also the actress who has quite a role to take on. Chelsea, you're going to step onto the stage as your grandmother, Eva
yes.
Rutland.
Yes.
When Ginger first approached you with this idea, what was your all of the picture of your grandmother and your willingness or ability to take that on?
I think I was hesitant at first, but since we've began this process, it's become, I don't know what the correct word for it is, it's become extremely special, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I saw the other productions, and I thought all of the other actresses brought something amazing and something unique and actually opened my eyes to parts of my grandmother that I may have been blind to, so to speak, at first. So to see her through someone else's eyes was really nice. And now I get to bring my own piece to that.
You just used air quotes around the word blind.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's a detail we haven't talked about.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So go ahead.
My grandmother was blind. Actually, my grandmother never saw me, so she was blind my whole life. But it didn't feel that way. It felt I felt that she always saw me, so it was nothing, it wasn't something I ever thought about very much. But yes, she was blind, and she did write books, and it is tremendously special.
Chelsea, you didn't know Oak Park growing up, did you?
I did know Oak Park. I didn't spend a lot of... I grew up in Curtis Park, so I did know Oak Park. It's right down the road. But no, it is... I've never... It's definitely transformed. I never went to the Guild. It was a movie theater before. So, yeah, I have not spent a lot of time there.
And except your brother went to...
Oh, Christian Brothers. Yes, my brother went to Christian Brothers, so...
that phrase, knowing Oak Park, I think you'd get a different definition in a different decade.
Yes. I came to this city in 1952, and Oak Park was an integrated, middle-class, working-class neighborhood.
And had been for
and
a few
had
decades.
Been for, had been forever. It was Sacramento's first suburb, and it was connected to all other parts of Sacramento. What happened in the 60s, they built the freeways. They built 99, and they built 50. And it cut Oak Park off from its more affluent and whiter neighbors. So Curtis Park now is separated from Oak Park by the 99 freeway. And East Sacramento is separated from Oak Park by the 50 freeway. And so it sort of closed itself off. And other things happened. They redeveloped what is now called Old Sacramento. It was called the West End. And that's where people of color lived in this town. Asians, Japanese, Chinese, Hispanics, and blacks lived in the West End. And they decided, well, it's a blighted area. We're going to clean it out. And they did. And all of those people then had to be relocated. And there were very few places where legally you could live as a person of color in this town because of the racial covenants that were on the deeds. So people of color crowded into Oak Park, or they went to Del Paso Heights.
And it rolled. You know, the Oak Park area went into kind of an orphan status.
It went into a serious decline. And it was amazing to me because I left Sacramento in 1965. I went off. We lived in Europe for a little while, and I went to college. And I came back, and Oak Park, the Oak Park that I knew, was gone. The 35th Street, which was full of shops and life and commercial, it was the commercial corridor that was really important, was all boarded up. And it had become blighted. Much of Oak Park had become blighted. There was redlining. People couldn't get loans to improve their homes there. It was kind of a neglected area. It was a mess. What I love about doing my play at the Guild in Oak Park is there's a renaissance going on there. It is beautiful. There are restaurants, and there's a garden shop, and there's a bakery, and all of this new brewery. It's a fun place to be again.
A drive through there just this weekend, in fact, showed how many people are out and about on the streets. Mm-hmm. The Sacramento Food Bank area is thriving with new construction and new places for its services. There are renovated Victorians, renovated homes. And for some people, this is plus, like you're saying, a wonderful transition for the area. For some people, it will again mean moving out, moving on.
Yeah, it's a complicated situation, but it's not unique to Oak Park. The rents have increased. They've tripled and quadrupled. And so people who have been there are being priced out. And that is a problem not just in Oak Park, but in Land Park, in Curtis Park, in Fair Oaks, in throughout Sacramento. And Chelsea's from Los Angeles, also in Los Angeles. It's the cost of housing is prohibitive, and the homelessness is increasing because of it. Oak Park is suffering from this, but so are other parts of this city.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting that also to rejuvenate a community, which every community, frankly, deserves, other people have to be displaced in the process. I think that's something interesting. And I think there's a better way of solving that. I'm not quite sure what that means. It is interesting, though, that every time a community gets renewed and things are brought back, that original community needs to be displaced. So that is a larger conversation that definitely needs to be had.
What was your post-high school? You went to high school here in the Sacramento area. Mm-hmm. And then what was the journey between here and L.A.? And is this a homecoming in a sense for you, too, to come back and do the play?
Yes, it's a tremendous homecoming. It is a tremendous homecoming, and I'm a happy homecoming. I get to, my grandparents were a huge part of my life, and I get, sorry, I've been quiet because I knew I was going to get emotional, and I get to revisit them and make them a huge part of my life again.
This show opens Friday.
Yes.
Are you ready for the expectations and the connection that people have with your grandmother, with Eva?
Yes, I saw it in the last play.
You saw that response,
yes,
that interaction?
Yes, I saw the response in the last play, and I was so shocked. Again, I got to see it through other people's eyes, and it's something I took for granted because I just grew up with it, and it's all I knew. But it really, a lot of other people approached me and started talking about their grandparents and their parents and where they were from. And, oh, they came from Ohio, too. Or they, you know, they experienced similar things as well. And that was really, really special and amazing. And it was good to know that Ginger's story that, she and my grandmother's story helped other people feel comfortable with their stories and validated other people's stories as well. So
that's Chelsea Carball Rutland. She will be Eva Rutland in the play that opens February 14th. When We Were Colored will be at the Guild Theater in Oak Park through March 14th. It is an adaptation of the book by Eva Rutland, the adaptation by her daughter Ginger Rutland. And Ginger has a long career as a journalist, including years at the Sacramento Bee, years here at Cap Radio as well. So in staging this, this comes at a time when there has been such a concerted effort from so many arenas to lift up the dialogue, to kind of flush out the humanity of people, the stories, the understanding. And in the end, I guess this play becomes a part of it. What are you hoping comes out of this?
What my mother did and is she, when you talk about race, it's so fraught. People feel muffled. People feel attacked. And I think what my mother has given people in her book is a way to look at people as people, that the black people that she's talking about, her own family, we're just like everybody else. We raise our children, we go to work, we pay our taxes, and we try to get along. And I think my mother provides a safe place for people to talk about race, which is, you know, a subject that is often very emotional and makes people angry. But my mother was not angry. She lived a very joyful life. And so much of black theater is grim. It's about bad things that have happened to black people. And her life was not grim. My life has not been grim. I don't think Chelsea's life has been grim. Was it grim, Chelsea?
No. But I did always ask them for what was it like back then, you know, and their response was, great. I had a beautiful life. Yeah.
What about your contemporaries, Chelsea, in your friend group? How are those conversations about race and division, even gentrification?
I think I'm lucky with my friend group. So they're always heated conversations, but we always come to the same sort of...
And what heats up a conversation right now?
What heats up race, our president, which Democratic, the Democratic primaries, because we all are, you know, divided on who would be the best person to replace the person we currently have in office. And that's something, probably the Democratic primaries right now.
So when you go back to the language of this play and things your grandmother said in the 50s and into the 60s, what's the connection point for you? What part of that is contemporary in the questions and issues you wrestle with in your own life?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably you haven't seen the play, but there.
I saw the Sacramento Theater Company version, and some of the funny instances are of the time, you know, the clothes or the hair or
yes,
things like that.
And there's a particular scene that is with Ginger, the character that plays Ginger, Eva's daughter, and they're arguing about the civil rights movement, and Ginger's out protesting, and they just have different ways of solving the same issue, which is an argument I constantly have with my parents. I am an avid supporter of Bernie Sanders. And
you've said it
now. Yes, I've said it. It's out there. I tried not to, but I couldn't really. And they love Bernie Sanders, but they also believe that there are better options out there. And it's a similar argument we have, because I feel that there needs to be radical change and radical uprooting, and they believe there is a more... I'm using gestures. You guys can't see me right now. I'm very hand and gesture oriented.
Yeah, she's moving her hands broadly on the horizon.
They believe there is a lesser, more extreme way of.
You're
doing
a college
things.
Graduate. Can I ask if you're in the 20-something category or the 30-something category?
I am in the 20-something, okay. Late 20-somethings.
Okay,
28.
Right.
Yes,
but the. But she's interesting. That's very interesting to me, because there is a scene in the play in which I'm arguing with my parents about Black power and the need to, you know, call yourself Black. You can't call yourself colored anymore. And I have this huge afro that's so big you can almost not get through a door. And Chelsea it's interesting to me that Chelsea is having these same conversations with her parents about the various candidates and whether to have the radical one or the more conservative one or
yeah.
whatever. I mean,
yes.
It's this. It comes back and it comes back and it comes back.
Yeah. And it's a big discussion everyone is having right now.
Yeah.
So what do you want people to take from this play and the fact that it's in the heart of Oak Park and the family history is true history there?
I guess that everyone's story deserves to be told. And no matter how, this is what I'm getting from it, at least, no matter how small or insignificant it might seem it to you, if you tell it, people will want to listen and be open to listening, and you will encourage someone else to tell their story. I think it's, yeah, tell your stories.
I see some of your mom in her. I do, Ginger.
I see a lot of my mother in her. The resemblance between my mother at 28 and Chelsea at 28 is rather remarkable. Mm. You see these two pictures together, which is something I had never done.
Seen that, Chelsea?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. It's remarkable, the resemblance between the two. And because photographs, old family photographs, are such a big part of the play, Chelsea matches the photograph of my mother as a young woman.
Hmm. Yeah. I never thought I really looked like her, but I do feel we have similar mannerisms and a similar soul and a similar way of communicating. But yeah, I never thought I looked like her, but I guess I do.
So this is Black History Month, and I don't know if that's why you staged the play this month, but why is that designation important? Why does Oak Park continue to be important to the Black community?
You know, it just happened that the Guild Theater was available this month, and it coincided with Black History Month, which is a good marketing tool, I guess. But it could have been in any month at any time. Black history, white history, history goes on no matter what month it is or what night it is. The Oak Park connection, though, is really important. If you know anything about theater in this town, professional theater, it is overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly rather elderly. I was very interested in trying to bring a more diverse audience to my play because they, you know, because it's about them. It's about us. It's about a segment of Black America that you don't often see on television or something. This huge swath of middle-class Black folks that don't make the evening news. And that's who my parents were and who I am, and I think who Chelsea is. And I wanted to tell their story, and I wanted so many in Sacramento who've lived that life to come see the story. And so I tried to do it in Oak Park, where they came from and I came from.
Yeah, it was very kismet.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's luck. Yeah, kismet is a good way to describe it.
All right. Well, the previews open on Friday, February 14th. There is the official big opening on the 16th. The play runs through March 14th. We will post a link with ticket information, the cast, some pictures. Chelsea Rutland, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck.
Thank you.
In this homecoming debut in this family play. And Ginger, congratulations again. I know this has been a personal passion project that you have really been the driving force and spirit of. So good luck with this run.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you very much.
Journalist and playwright Ginger Rutland. Again, the play is When We Were Colored. That link is at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.